The words came from a thick-set man who stood looking down on them from the top of the bluff. His broad face, his narrow hooded eyes, and high cheekbones advertised his Mongol ancestry. A thin mustache drooped down on either side of his mouth, which was wide in a thin-lipped grin. Carla had studied Russian while she was in Fairbanks and got the gist of what he was saying. The assault rifle cradled in his arm spoke louder than any words. He whistled, and a second later, four more men appeared in the gorge, two from each side, all armed with similar weapons. They had tough-looking, unshaven faces with sneering mouths and hard eyes. Sergei may have been vain and disagreeable, but he displayed an unexpected courage born of scientific anger. He pointed to the broken bones.
"You did this?"
The man shrugged.
"Who are you?"
Sergei said. The Mongol ignored the question and looked past Sergei. "We are looking for the woman named Carla Janos." The man was staring at Carla, but she was startled to hear her name from the stranger's lips. Sergei glanced at her in reflex, then thought better of it.
"There is no one here by that name."
The Mongol issued a curt order, and the man nearest to Carla grabbed her roughly by the arm with his dirt-encrusted fingers and pulled her away from the others. She resisted. He squeezed her arm so hard it bruised. He smiled when she grimaced in pain, and he put his face close to hers. She almost gagged on the odor of his unwashed body and his foul breath. She glanced over her shoulder. The other scientists were being herded along another ravine. The man at the top of the banking had disappeared. As she was hustled out of sight, she heard Maria scream, then male voices shouting. Shots rang out, the noise echoing off the walls of the gully. She tried to run back to her colleagues, but the man grabbed her by the hair and jerked her back. First came excruciating pain, then anger. She whirled around and tried to claw his eyes out. He pulled his head back, and her fingernails scraped harmlessly against the stubble of his scruffy beard. He lashed out with the back of his hand. Carla was stunned by the blow and offered little resistance when he put his foot behind her legs and pushed her down. The back of her head hit the ground, and galaxies whirled before her eyes. Her vision cleared, and she saw the man staring down at her with amusement, then lust in his pig-like eyes. He had decided to have some fun with his lovely captive. He put his gun safely out of reach and began to unbutton his fly. Carla tried to crawl out of his way. He laughed and put his boot on her neck. She pounded at his ankle and struggled to escape. She could barely breathe. The man coughed suddenly, and the grin on his face changed into a mask of shock. A trickle of blood appeared at the corner of his mouth. He pivoted in slow motion. His boot slipped off Carla's neck, and she saw the hilt of a hunting knife protruding from between his shoulder blades. Then his legs turned to rubber, and he collapsed. Carla rolled over to keep from being crushed by the falling body. Her elation was cut short. Another man was coming toward her. He was tall, and he limped when he walked. The sun slanting into the ravine was behind him, and his face was obscured in shadow. The man called her by her first name. It was a voice she hadn't heard in many years. Then she fainted. When she came to, the man was bending over her, holding her head in his hands, soothing her bruised lips with water from a canteen. She recognized the long jaw and the pale blue eyes that were filled with concern. She smiled, even though it hurt her cracked lips.
"Uncle Carl?"
she asked, as if in a dream. Schroeder placed his fox fur hat under her head as a pillow, then went over to retrieve his knife, wiping the blade on the man's coat. He picked up the dead man's assault rifle and slung it over his shoulder. Then he took his hat back, placed his arms under her body, and lifted her like a fireman carrying a smoke victim. Voices were coming along the ravine. Stepping smartly, he carried Carla in the opposite direction, vanishing around a bend, only seconds before the Mongol man and the rest of his gang found their companion. It took them only a second to see that he was dead. Crouching low, they advanced along the wall of the ravine with their weapons cocked. Schroeder ran for his life, and for Carla's.